You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 11, Episode 11 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In this season, we're focusing on lessons from the book of Proverbs. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Proverbs about government. Let's get started. Given the way a lot of people talk about government as it relates to the Scriptures, it would be very easy for someone to assume that there is just very little that is said about government in the book of Proverbs, as far as instructions or things like that about those who are in power and what the Bible says about them in the book of Proverbs. Yet there are quite a few passages in the book of Proverbs that teach us about government, as well as providing instructions both to those in government and to those who are subject to governing authorities. Now, we're not going to be looking at all of the passages in the book of Proverbs. We're just going to be scratching the surface of this topic because there are a lot of passages that address this. If you're interested in more of these passages, I'll put a link to an article that I wrote on Proverbs about government in the show notes, which goes into all of these verses. But we're just going to be noticing a few highlights. But we're going to start with this verse, Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Now, while this passage is not specifically referring to civil government, there are certainly principles that apply to it. A nation will be exalted before God due to the righteousness of the people. Therefore, those who are in positions of authority ought to encourage righteousness. And this is going to be done primarily by directing the force and the wrath of government toward the wicked and away from the righteous. But Solomon said that sin among people brings shame upon the nation. So those who are in authority should not be supporting or encouraging wickedness among the people. But as we look at these various passages we're going to consider, we're going to break this down into basically three parts. Number one, Proverbs about government and its place and its role in God's plan. And number two, we're going to be looking at instructions to those who are in government. And then finally, the third part, we're going to be looking at our responsibility toward these civil authorities. So we begin by looking at what the Proverbs say about government. In Proverbs 28, verse 2, it says, "By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures." E.M. Zur, in his commentary, explained the significance of that phrase, many princes. He said, quote, "A prince is a leading person without official authority as a general thing. Such men are brought into prominence by the misdoings of a country, but one man of substantial kind of knowledge will ensure the state of the nation." End quote. These princes that arise through the transgressions of the people will threaten the long-term health of the nation. They consume the country's resources while doing nothing to fulfill the government's God-given role, but actual understanding and knowledge are far more important contributions that one might make for the health of a nation than merely holding some official position. In Proverbs 20 and verse 26, it says, "A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them." One of the primary responsibilities that government has is to punish those who do evil. A lot of times we think about what the Bible says about government and governing authorities. We think of Romans chapter 13. That passage talks about punishing evildoers. That's what this verse is talking about. The wise king scatters the wicked, as the King James Version says. Again, this emphasizes the fact that a ruler acting according to his divinely given role will be a cause of fear for those who do evil. On the other hand, this implies that when a government refuses to punish the wicked as it should be doing, then sin is going to abound. Next, look at two verses, Proverbs 28 and verse 28, and then Proverbs 29 and verse 2. These are related. The first one, 28:28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. And Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. The wise man implies in these passages that the ones who hide themselves from the wicked rulers are not other wicked persons who deserve punishment. Righteous kings punish the wicked. We've already talked about that. Wicked kings do not punish the wicked, at least not the ones that they approve of. And so instead of wicked kings punishing the wicked, instead they are a cause of fear to those who do what is right. So the righteous hide themselves. And interestingly, chapter 29 and verse 2, when it says the righteous increase, it is not necessarily when wicked rulers are replaced with righteous rulers, but simply when the wicked rulers perish. The righteous are capable of prospering with or without civil authorities over them because of their reliance upon the providence of God. We talked about this earlier in the season, a few episodes back, with the episode about knowing well the condition of your flocks. That episode, and that passage in Proverbs chapter 27, is about the fact that those who are guided by godly principles are able to survive and are able to prosper whether there is a government that is ruling over them or not. And so the righteous are capable of prospering whether those rulers exist or not, because they rely on God and they submit to His rule. Yet righteous rulers, when they are in that position, they are a blessing to the people of a nation. Then chapter 25, verses 2 and 3 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable." These verses are talking about different levels of authority. God is able to conceal a matter because He is over all. He's over all, including the king. The king might search out a matter, but even in His position where He is over all the ones who are in that nation, there are certain things of God that are unknowable to Him. And when it talks about that He must search out a matter, it reminds us that the king is only human. He does not have perfect knowledge of everything. God, in His omniscience, is and always will be greater than the king. So Solomon said, "The heart of kings is unsearchable." Just as the king might search out matters known only to the one who is greater than he is, which is God, we might search out matters known only to the king who rules over us. We cannot know the hearts of those who are in power any more than we can know the mind of God unless it is revealed to us. Sometimes we're tempted to think we know what the rulers are thinking. We know what their intentions are. Well, we don't know that. We don't know their heart any more than we can know the will of God unless He tells us. And the difference between God and rulers, we know God is going to tell us the truth. But then the final verse on this section, chapter 27 and verse 24. "For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations." I mentioned this just a couple minutes ago, where it talks about the righteous increasing, and they are able to prosper whether there is a ruler over them or not. This passage talks about the fact that a crown does not endure to all generations. God's reign is eternal. Human rulers hold power just for a short period of time by comparison. Therefore, all men, whether they're in positions of authority or not in positions of authority, need to remember the limitations of those in authority and submit to the one with ultimate authority, which is God. Now, after considering those things, I want to turn our attention now to instructions in the book of Proverbs that are directed to those in government, to those who are in power, and the scriptures do speak to this, including in the book of Proverbs. We'll notice just a few of these passages. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles all who judge rightly. The me of this passage is wisdom. This is identified just a few verses earlier, verse 12 of that chapter. This wisdom is not worldly wisdom. But in the book of Proverbs, when it talks about wisdom speaking and the wisdom we are to pursue, this is the wisdom that comes from above. This is godly wisdom. So when it talks about those who reign need to do it by wisdom, princes rule and judge rightly by wisdom. This is not their wisdom. This is not human wisdom. This is godly wisdom. Those in authority need to seek after God's wisdom. Chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness. The statement there that at the beginning of that passage, a divine decision is in the lips of the king, means the king ought to rule in such a way that is in harmony with God's law. That divine decision, that's a decision from God. He needs to rule, the king needs to rule in a way that is in harmony with God's law. And a just balance and scales belongs to the Lord, means that everything that is right, everything that is just, everything that is fair, is in harmony with God's instructions. No human standard that is contrary to God's standard ought to be followed or enforced by these rulers. Furthermore, when Solomon says it is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, he is saying that those in authority are not above the law, God's law or man's law. Therefore, rulers need to act righteously in the fear of the Lord. Then Proverbs 14 and verse 28, in a multitude of people is a king's glory, but in the dearth of people is a prince's ruin. It is easy for a ruler to become arrogant because of his position. But the wise man reminds him that his glory or honor, as the King James Version has, is only possible because of the people that he rules. So there are two implications of this. Number one, without the loyalty of the people, those in power cannot rule, which leads to their downfall. This means that in order there for one to rule effectively over the long term, he needs to do so with the consent of the governed. Second, without the life of the people, those in power cannot rule. So being in a position of civil authority demands that one protect the people from those who would do harm to them. We already saw that they are to punish evildoers. They're also to protect those who are good, those who do what is right. Which goes into the next passage. Proverbs 17, verse 26. It is not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. So we've already talked about the responsibility for government and civil authorities is to punish evildoers. But when they do this, they need to be careful not to punish the righteous along with the wicked. Peter would later explain in his first epistle in 1 Peter 2 and verse 14 that for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right, this is the responsibility of civil authorities. But a sloppy execution of punishment that affects the righteous is not good. Those who are righteous and upright should not be fined, should not be struck down, or otherwise harmed by those in power. And so those who are in positions of authority need to make sure their laws are in such a way and their enforcement is in such a way that they are not bringing harm and harassment to those who are righteous. But then finally, the third section of verses in the book of Proverbs is about our responsibility toward civil authorities. Most people are not going to find themselves in government or holding some official position, but they are going to be subject to governing authorities. So it is important that we understand what our responsibility and attitude ought to be to those in power. So notice just a few of these verses. Proverbs 24 and verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change. In considering the danger of bad friends, we see the wise man warning about those who are given to change. Now, sometimes change is necessary. When one is changing from a state of wickedness and then repenting so he can be righteous, that's a good change. That's a necessary change. But this verse is warning about those who have a rebellious attitude, who want change for the sake of change. Some civil authorities will roughly follow God's instructions for them. Others will completely reject God's will for them. And naturally, the righteous man will want stability with good rulers and will desire change when there are evil rulers. However, some people are not content no matter who is in charge. They want change when the wicked are in power and when the righteous are in power. We are not to keep company with those who have such a rebellious attitude. Fear the Lord and the King. Then chapter 23, the first three verses. It says, when you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man of great appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. This passage warns us that not everything that is offered to us by those in power is helpful or is even good for us. So therefore, what this means is, if the government offers us anything, before we agree to accept it, we need to carefully consider the potential ramifications of our accepting what they are offering to us. There may be times in which it would be better to refuse what is offered than to accept it along with whatever strings are attached to it. So rather than thinking about, well, you know, this is good, this is benefiting me, this is something that I want, think about what this leads to, what you are tying yourself into, what you are obligating yourself to do or to allow before accepting what rulers give, because often there's going to be strings attached. The wise man warned about this, and it's the case even today. But then a final passage that I want us to look at before we wrap up is Proverbs 29 and verse 26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. This might be the most important verse to remember in the book of Proverbs about our attitude towards civil authorities. Many people seek the favor of rulers because they see these leaders as holding the power of life or death over them, that they are the ones, they're dependent upon them, and they look to them as the ultimate authority. But we need to remember that justice for man comes from the Lord. Any justice from civil authorities only comes as they comply with the will of God. Any injustice from civil authorities will one day be made right by God, since He is over all, even those who rule over us in this life. So rather than looking to civil authority as our deliverer and as our standard of righteousness, we need to look to God for these things. We must never forget the surpassing greatness of God and the inferiority and comparative weakness of human rulers. So again, this just scratches the surface about what the book of Proverbs says about government, those who are in government, our responsibility toward government. And as I mentioned, there's a link in the show notes that you can look at some more of those passages in an article that I wrote, and you can check that out. But these are some things that we need to think about. Recognize God is over all. God is the one with supreme authority. And no matter what the rulers do or do not do, we need to make sure that we are exercising wisdom, following godly wisdom, and serving the Lord in everything that we do.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
If you found this lesson to be helpful, you may want to check out the book, My Son, Hear My Words, Notes on Proverbs. This is not a traditional commentary, but is more of a topical commentary that I wrote on the book of Proverbs. As I mentioned in this episode, you can go to the article that's linked in the show notes, that talks about these proverbs about government in more detail or goes through more of these passages, that's also included in this book. And there's a link in the show notes to the book, along with a coupon code good for $5 off the price of the book plus free shipping if you're interested in that. Also, if you'd like to study more about what the Bible says about government, there are a couple books that you can check out. The links are going to be down in the show notes. One was written by my father-in-law, Tim Hale, and myself. The other was written by David Lipscomb not long after the Civil War. So you can check those out and study more about what the Bible says, not just the book of Proverbs, but what the Bible as a whole says about government. Next week, we're going to be talking about committing our works to the Lord. Until then, I hope you have a great week.